T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dane Brugler joins us to talk NFL draft and college football every Thursday at 10:20. He's got a mock draft out on The Athletic. He's at DP Brugler talking Senior Bowl stuff already. We're off and running with the 2019 NFL draft preparation. And the segment's brought to you by the Texans Can Academy and by 1-800-LAWYERS. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do what more fan listeners do. Make the free call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark can fix it. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Been DFW's go-to guy for 25 years. Jason Garrett press conference coming up here in about 15 minutes on your home of the Cowboys. Let's talk with Dane, though, and a good morning to you, Dane. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and, yeah, the draft season is it's coming around the corner. It's underclassmen deadlines in about a month. Like you've mentioned, the Senior Bowl, those declarations, invites are going out. We have probably 50, 60 names that have already accepted their invites. And so, yeah, we're just prepping for the bowl season and going to go, we're going to dive in full go into the draft season.
Well, it looks like a pretty fun Senior Bowl, at least at quarterback. I saw that West Virginia's Will Greer is going to be at the Senior Bowl. Jarrett Stidham from Auburn is going to be at the Senior Bowl. That sounds like a pretty good group of quarterbacks as they're trying to sort out who's going to be picked where, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And obviously the juniors that declare will have a big impact on the quarterback order, who goes in the first round, and that's, Justin Herbert from Oregon, Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State. But the top senior is Drew Locke from Missouri, and he has his Senior Bowl invite. He just hasn't officially accepted his invite just yet. So if he goes, I think that would be a big thing for him and for the game. He reminds me a lot of Derek Carr. I think he's a possible first-round pick. A guy that could be a starter in this league. But Will Greer, it'll be a big test for him coming out. Remove him from that West Virginia offense, put him in more of a pro style look, put him with some pro coaches. They'll be able to get a better feel for, okay, what does he understand about defenses, breaking down coverages? That'll be a big week for him. And same thing with Jarrett Stidham, a redshirt junior who declared early. Because he is a redshirt junior, because he already has his degree, he can participate in the Senior Bowl. And this season did not go as planned for him, but I think a lot has to do with the offense that he's in, that Auburn offense. I think he's making the right decision by getting away from that offense, going to the Senior Bowl, have a chance to prove himself there. Jarrett Stidham has plenty to prove in Mobile if he has a good week.
So now, one of the guys that we talked about hypothetically all year, and I've finally seen him comment on it, is that Kyler Murray, the football dream, may not be totally dead as he's going to see sort of what the NFL thinks of him. What does the NFL think of Kyler Murray?
It's a tough discussion because, it's not everyone's going to be on board with a 5'10", 185-pound quarterback. And so I think if he were to fully commit to football, he would be drafted somewhere in the top 50 picks. I really think so. But not every team, like I said, is going to be on board with a guy like that. And so the options, the landing spots would be limited. And so there's no guarantees. And that's kind of where baseball has always been kind of the smarter choice, or at least in theory, because of the guarantees, because of the fact that he already has over $4 million as a signing bonus that he would have to give back if he decided to go the football route. I think that the more likely scenario here is we see Kyler go play baseball. We see him play baseball for a couple of years. And after 2-3 years, if he is not sniffing the major leagues, if he's not at least on a path where he's, making the appropriate jumps from AA to AAA and not doing all that, we see him maybe go back to and try the NFL. And that's where we get into discussion about, okay, well, a team draft, if he commits to baseball, will a team in the NFL draft still take him in, say, the 6th or 7th round and try to sign him to a deal? So as just a fallback plan, he can decide to go that route if he wants to.
Dane, could he, if he plays 2 or 3 years and then teams are like, well, Could he go back to Oklahoma? Could he save that eligibility so in 2022 he could be the quarterback of OU for one more year?
Well, once he gives up, or once he signs with an agent, he gives up his eligibility. He forfeits the rest of it. So I think this is going to be the final year. I mean, regardless of what he goes, baseball or football, this is going to be his final year in college. Now, in the past, we've seen guys, go the baseball route and then go back to college football. You know, Brandon Whedon most recently, a guy that did that. But if he chooses football, or at some point, if he looks to go the football route, I think it makes more sense for him just to try and go to the NFL and try to, you know, go back to college for one more season.
Now, how about the ideas of the coach, Lincoln Riley, going to the NFL?
Yeah, and Baker Mayfield had some thoughts about that this week, and I mean, I think he's exactly right. That I mean, there's nothing about what Lincoln Riley has shown us that says, you know, he can't, his offense, his understanding of personnel, his understanding of breaking down a defense, how that won't translate to the NFL game. I think the bigger obstacle for Lincoln would just be the fact that he's not used to being in an NFL locker room. He's a college guy. Even when he was coming out of college, you know, he didn't go and, you know, spend time, extensive time in a training camp. So he hasn't had that NFL experience, and not that he's not capable of doing it. I mean, he's a football coach. I think he'd be just fine. And he's 35 years old. I think he could relate to a lot of the players, even, you know, a lot of the veterans. He's a very mature guy. So I don't think that it's, you know, it's impossible or he couldn't handle it that way. I just think it'd be a very new experience for him. And so that's why I think the most likely scenario is we see him stay in college. He's got a great gig at Oklahoma, obviously. And, they're preparing for the college football playoffs right now. You know, they're one of the four best teams. That's what the playoff told us. And a chance at the national title, that's a lot to give up to go to the NFL for, whether it would be to, Cleveland or one of these other openings. That's a lot to give up for a chance like that. I think we'll eventually see him in the NFL, but for right now, I think his immediate future is in college.
Now, Dane, you've always told me mock drafts are your favorite part of your job. If you could, you'd put one out every day. That's what you've always told me.
Yeah,
and
right.
The first one is out. You gave in to the peer pressure, and you put out the definitive mock draft because your work is the finest work that there is. What are you willing to give us from the mock draft?
Yeah, if anybody wants to check out all 32 teams, 32 picks, well, actually, I should say 35 picks because there are three teams without a first-round pick this year as of right now, and so I also included their first pick in this mock draft. So for the Cowboys, I do have a mock draft, or as part of the mock draft, I have their second-round pick projection in here. But for the overwhelming theme of the first round is defensive line, defensive tackle, edge rushers. We're going to see those guys fly off the board. I have 9 edge rushers just at that position alone in the first round. These things usually work one of two ways. Either, you know, it's such a deep position that we're going to see a run of them early, or we're going to see maybe teams go in a different direction, offensive tackle or a different position, and say, okay, the deep position, we can get our guy later. But when we talk about defensive line, it's such a premium position in today's NFL. I mean, you take the Cowboys and Eagles this weekend. I think the defensive line, really the battle in the trenches is going to determine that game, in my opinion. And I think you look at the draft, that's where teams need to get better, in the trenches. And especially on the defensive line, they're going to have a chance to do that this year. So we're going to see a lot of defensive linemen fly off the board. Nick Bosa, still the favorite to go with the first pick. I have him slotted to the 49ers, number 1 overall. Quinnen Williams, a defensive tackle from Alabama, number 2 to the Raiders. I have Ed Oliver bumped down there at number 8 to the Falcons. So we're a lot of defensive linemen this year. There are also 3 quarterbacks in this mock draft, 2 in the top 10, Justin Herbert to the Giants. So we're still waiting to see if Herbert will declare or not. Still a good chance he goes back to school. If that's the case, then what do the Giants do? Do they go with the Dwayne Haskins as the first quarterback off the board? Do maybe they try and get a Will Greer in the second round? Or maybe they still think Eli could be the guy and they go in a totally different direction. They need a ton of help on the pass rush, on the defensive line. Maybe they go and take advantage of this defensive line class in the top 10 and say, you know, we'll stick with Eli Manning for another year. You never know with the Giants what they're going to do with GM Dave Gettleman. So in the second round, I did have the Cowboys pick, like I mentioned. And I haven't taken a tight end, Dawson Knox from Ole Miss. I think the tight end by committee approach has been something that has worked at times and maybe not other times. And so I think that if they have a chance to invest in the position and get a guy that is a true a chain mover, a guy that's going to help you in the red zone more so than what they have right now, I think they're going to look at that direction at least. And this is a good draft to do that. The tight end group, as long as the juniors declare, this is going to be one of the strongest tight end groups that we've ever seen. It's never happened in NFL draft history that 10 tight ends have gone in the top 100 picks. This year, it's going to be possible. I don't know if we're going to have as much demand maybe from teams, but the supply will be there. There will be at least 10 tight ends in this draft class worthy of top 100 consideration. So that might match up with what the Cowboys are looking for.
Okay, Dane, if Ole Miss, that's whose tight end the Cowboys just got, has him, wide receiver A.J. Brown, wide receiver DeMarcus Lodge, wide receiver D.K. Metcalf, and all of them might go in the first two rounds, how come they didn't win the national championship?
Because they lost games 54 to 48. They zero defense. You know, it's funny when I get some, you know, the all 22 coaches tape, and I'll talk to some of my buddies in the league to send me some stuff, and they'll tell me, okay, I'll send you some Ole Miss offense. And they said, "What do you, Ole Miss defense? You need that tape?" And no, I'm good. They have absolutely nobody on the defense that you get excited about. Because then you mentioned those skill guys. They also have Greg Little at left tackle, who's going to be one of the first tackles drafted, someone in the top 15 picks. Their quarterback, Te'amu, is going to be probably in the late round discussion. He's put himself there. So offense has not been a problem for the Rebels, but the defense is why they had a subpar season, basically just a 500 year.
Dane Brugler here with us from The Athletic, the Trust the Tape podcast with Jeff Kavanaugh. Okay, I'm trying to talk up some Big 12 excitement based on the potential of Ohio State taking a step back, Urban Meyer out. I saw 2 4-star recruits have withdrawn their commitment. What are the chances they have a step back like SC when Pete Carroll left, or you know, Florida when Urban Meyer left?
Yeah, it'll be tough to forecast just because we don't know enough about Ryan Day as a recruiter. This is his first head coaching gig, but we know that he's really highly thought of over throughout the college football landscape. He turned down SEC head coaching jobs last year because he knew he had a good thing going at Ohio State. And listen, Ohio State's one of the few brands, probably one of a handful of brands in college football that recruits itself. Kids want to go to Ohio State to play football, especially the kids in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan and those areas. Where Urban really made a dent was in Texas, taking J.K. Dobbins out of Texas, Florida. I mean, Ohio State's always been big in Florida. Guys like Ryan Shazier and those guys, the Bosas are from Florida. But Urban Meyer, I think, took it a step further. So I think, you know, from a national perspective, Urban Meyer, you know, had a lot of cachet, and you know that was really his forte as a coach, was not only what he did on Saturdays, but in the recruiting game. But Ohio State, like I said, I think it recruits the brand recruits itself. Ryan Day, as an offensive mind, is up there. You know, people compare it to when Bob Stoops stepped down and then Lincoln Riley took over. That's how Ohio State sees this, and so for you know, hopefully for Ohio State fans, it works out that way because obviously, Oklahoma, they haven't lost a beat. If anything, they've even gotten better in terms of the health of the program since Bob Stoops left. And that's nothing against Bob Stoops, more about Lincoln Riley. So we'll see what happens the next few years with Ohio State, but I think they'll be just fine.
Which underdog in the playoff has a better chance to win, Notre Dame against Clemson in the Cotton Bowl or Oklahoma against Bama in the Orange Bowl?
Well, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Because Notre Dame, I think, is Alabama is the better team, I think the best team in the Final Four, but Oklahoma is better than Notre Dame, in my opinion. So I think I would lean with Oklahoma just because we know they can score points. With Notre Dame, they might score 17 points. That offense is kind of hit or miss a little bit. The defense, they have some guys, but not anyone that I'm going to hang my hat on in terms of shutting down that Clemson offense. So I will go with Oklahoma with the chance to upset Alabama as the more likely of the two happening.
Who's going to be quarterback? Who's going to be QB for Bama?
I think it'll be Tua. I mean, it's the way they're making it sound. If the ankle's going to be okay, and if the ankle's okay, then it will be Tua. And it, you know, the most the craziest thing about that Jalen Hurts comeback in the SEC title game, that touchdown that he had, the go-ahead touchdown, it's a possible scenario that that was the last time he will take a snap for Alabama in his career. If Tua is able to come back, you know, you anticipate these next two games, Oklahoma and then whoever they face, probably Clemson, national title game, that you expect those games to be fairly close, and so Jalen Hurts might not get on the field, and a lot of people expect him to transfer after the year. So there's a good chance that final touchdown run against Georgia to go ahead, win the SEC title game, put him in the playoffs, that might be his final touch, his final snap as a member of the Alabama Crimson Tide. So a lot of storylines going on with Alabama right now.
Well, have a good one, Dane. Thanks for your time, as always.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He's at DP Brugler on Twitter, the great Dane Brugler, and we're 23 days away now from the semifinals. Very exciting times indeed.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.